Galatians 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now he's asking a question. Let's just read that again. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Let's all pray together. Father, as we come to this time of the service, we know that our hearts are set on thee, that you would feed us from heaven, because that's what we depend upon. We believe your word that you said wherever two or three would be gathered together, you would be in the midst. And we just ask you, Lord, that this day you would grant understanding to each one of us. We know that we have many needs, sickness, salvation. Lord, for Sister Johnny's husband, we ask that you'd just touch him there, knowing that you are the Savior, you are the healer. We believe, Lord, that you will grant this because we ask it. You said if any two would agree on anything, it shall be given unto them. So we just ask with our sister and believe. We thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered here today, and we ask that our understanding might be open unto us this day from thy word, that, Lord, we may look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Forgive our sins. Just have your will and way. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been quite a while now getting around to some things on speaking on the seals. And if it sounds kind of odd to some of you maybe that haven't been with us, then go home and read your Bible. You'll find out your scriptures are there that maybe some don't like to preach on. Maybe other preachers think that they're not important in things, but yet the Bible said that we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, if that be what we're doing, then every little if, and but, or whatever it be in the Scriptures would be important. It wouldn't be that we just say, well, we don't need that part. We don't need something like that, because that's a lot of times I've been accused of being an intellectual person by many people, and they make those statements. Well, I say one thing, if I'm an intellectual person and the Lord has used me to bring what little bit he has over the past few years about the seals and things to the church, then I'd like to see what all of their holy and pious has done with them. You know, if I'm just an intellectual, then I'd like to see what the Holy Spirit's done with them. And we know then that kind of puts a sting on some of the people's thoughts about it. But just think with us. It's the reason I read the scripture, for us to examine ourselves. See whether we be in the faith or not. You know, you could go back in the Bible and you could cover a lot of things. You could talk about how great a church was there on the day of Pentecost, you know, when it started out, how that there was healing among them, how the dead was raised, how that the sick would just, they would come in and lay hands on the sick and they'd recover of their sicknesses, blind receive their sight, how all of the great miracles that are there in the Scriptures. Well, then when we come into a modern age like we are today, I was talking this week with a congregational holiness boy that I work with there at work, and their idea is now that they have all that great education. He was laying all his thoughts on education. He's saying that we had to have a great education. I said, education's fine if you know the Lord. But if you don't know the Lord, then the Bible says that God is against worldly wisdom. Because Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he said, I come in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And see, earthly wisdom, according to the Scripture, is contrary to God. Well, then in that, see, he was laying all of it on wisdom, and I said, well, now, I'll just ask you, and just ask him this question one time like this. I said, you claim now that you have the education. And see, that's what I'm talking about. Examine yourself now in the Scriptures. The modern world today says we don't need God to heal us. We've got doctors. Well, I'd like to know where the doctors came from. You know, that's what I'd like for them to explain, is where the doctors came from. The medical science admits that there has to be a creator somewhere, that they can't heal you of nothing. But yet the religious world turns and says, we don't need God to heal us anymore, or we don't need this or that or the other. And said, that's why we don't have it. You know, they can read in the Bible all about it there. And see in the Bible that there was great things happened in the book of Acts. You know, how people done great things, and how the Lord Jesus healed people and raised the dead, and how that there in the book of Acts, those great things the church done. They said, we don't need that anymore. We're educated. I told him, I said, you've just become an educated idiot. Because any time your education takes you away from God, then your education's contrary to the Word. See, then it wouldn't be that you couldn't examine yourself with the Scriptures. How could you find something of that form in the Scriptures? There's not a Scripture there for it. See, their thoughts are that they're so educated now, and that's the trend of most all of the religious world, and you know it's true that their education now is so great until they actually don't need God. Well, then they're still arguing over what denomination is right here or this one right here. And I'm talking about Branhamites and all. I ain't talking about this Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. I'm talking about the people that claim to be following this message. They're arguing too, backwards and forth and bickering and screaming and hollering at each other. And all of it's just in an intellectual realm of education. The Bible says, Paul said, to examine yourself. Don't worry about what they're doing anywhere else, over this way or that kind of a church or this church or whatever. Don't worry about them. He said to examine yourself. Because it's not going to be, now watch the way I said, it's not going to be, they sang a great song, you know, today about how that we won't stand before Buddha, and it's not going to be a, you remember the Harry Kissner and all of these songs they sang about? I know all of you have heard that song, and then you say you ain't going to stand before a Baptist and you ain't going to stand before a Methodist. See, it's not going to be a Baptist church that would go in the rapture. It's not going to be a Methodist church. It's not going to be a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal or a oneness or a two-ness or any kindness. Or Branhamites, or anything you want to call them. It's not going to be a church that-a-way, a building, a people. It's going to be an individual in God. It'll be you and God. It won't be you and your church. It'll be you and God. It won't be you and your wife. You see what Paul's talking about? Examine yourself. It's not going to be you and your wife that goes. It's not going to be you and your children that goes. It's going to be you and you alone with God. Because in that, then you have to answer for your own self. You can't save your children. You parents know that. Well, then if you can't save your children, if it was going to be just a church group, like, say, we'll say the Baptist, just for a name, now no reflection. You could call Methodist just as easy, but I just say Baptist and no reflection. If it was going to be the Baptist group that was going, then we'd just all go join up with them, wouldn't we? If it was going to be the Methodist, Presbyterian, or Branhamites, now it's going to be Christ in you. Paul said to examine yourself, see whether you're in the faith or not. Now the Bible says there's just one faith. It don't say there's 969 different denominations today in the land. Probably more than that by now. That's been 10 or 15 years ago. You wouldn't think there's that many, but there is. of all the different little splits and isms and asms, there's over 969 different denominations. Now, in that 969, they've got 969 different faiths. But the Bible says there's only one faith. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Well, all right, then if that be true, then we're not trying to find how many different faiths to examine ourselves with. As we've heard so many times by the messenger of the last days, you say, well, if we're going to be judged, who are we going to be judged by? If you're going to judge the world by the Baptist, then the Methodist is wrong. If you're going to judge it by the Methodist, the Baptist is wrong. If you're going to judge it by the Presbyterian, then the Baptist and Methodist both wrong. But I'm glad the Bible says that he'll judge it by the Word. Now see, that's what I'm talking about, examine ourselves. Because you'll see in the message in a minute when we get to it, that the people of this end time, it don't matter who they are. That's the reason I'm taking that approach. It don't matter what church you're in and things like that. But they're going to come to a place that they're going to either go into rapture or they're going to be found to be reprobates. Now we talk about the end of time and everybody says the end of the world is here and all things are happening. Everybody's preaching that today. I believe it. But I don't believe it just because they're all preaching it. I believe it because the Word says that it'll come to that. See, you could convince everybody in the world that it was about over with, and Adolf Hitler, he got a great thought in his mind that Germany or Japan, wonder which one he was ahead of at that time, that there was going to be a superior race of people. He convinced those people of that. You could go out now and convince the people of the world that it's all about over. All it would take would be Reagan walk out and say, folks, and you're so close to it, it could happen, do you know? They shot down the airplane over there the other day. What's the United States doing? What would have happened in about 1940 or somewhere along in there? What would have happened back in the 19s in the early part if they'd have destroyed 200 and something people? We'd have been in war before there would have been a blink of an eye, wouldn't we? Germany was on its way to bomb England, and they couldn't make it and bomb Pearl Harbor, and they did. We was in war the next day, wouldn't we? Well, now, we'd be the same way if you had the people today. But what are they doing today? Not Russia. You don't do that no more. Now, we slap your hand. We'll cut down on our sanctions. We're not going to trade with you anymore. Well, now, we know that the people have lost whatever they had. But the reason I'm saying it that way, all it would take today would be Reagan to come on the TV and the radio waves and say, we are defeated, Russia has defeated us, and we can no longer exist. Do you realize about 90% of the United States would just give up, wouldn't it? Because they would be convinced in their mind. Well, that's what I'm talking about this. The world out there says we're at the end. That's fine to look at them saying we're at the end. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says before the end comes that there'll be a rapture of the church. There'd be a church going to rapture and a change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Well, now, that's what I'm concerned with. If we are here at the end, then we're concerned with getting out of here, not just existing. Not trying to find a way to live and be good people and all like that. That's well and good. That's commendable. But you can do that without a bit of salvation. You can do that without any kind of a religious attitude or whatnot. There's good people in the world that's wanting to be good. But salvation brings a person to a place that, watch it in a minute, that John began to scream out on the Isle of Patmos, he was looking for a lamb to come forth. He knew if that lamb didn't come, then he had no hopes. But see, we're down here in the end now. Everybody says we're in the end. The Word says we're in the end. All right, then in that, if there's not a lamb come forth, then we don't have any hopes. We talk about a rapture. We want to know how the church will be changed. Well, right, the Word tells you. We've been going through it over and over and over of the preparation for what we're talking about. But people are fixing to find out. All of us are going to know one way or the other now very shortly. And that shortly is not saying how long, because I don't know. That ain't none of our business how long it'll be. People are making all kind of predictions. You've never heard me make predictions like that. I just believe the Word and just keep right on going, because somewhere down the line the Lord will meet with us, and then that'll be the time. I don't have to worry about time. There's a lot of people said, Brother Branham said this about time, and Brother Branham said, I've proved it over and over. He did not say that. Nowhere will you find him saying that. They was talking about 77 was going to be the end of it. And Brother Branham, in his message, he said, don't you say that I said 77 would be the end. You know that a lot of people fell out with the message on account of that and quit believing it, because they didn't see that what the man was saying. He said, I didn't say 77 would be the rapture. You see, we look at things and don't do, as Paul said, examine ourselves. We want to examine everybody else. We want to look at everybody else's flaws. But what about our own? As the old saying goes, of us old-timer farmer people know a little bit about it, clean around your own door. You kids might not understand that, but us, I'm 43 years old, but I was at least raised on a farm and know a little bit about some of the things where you had to clean around the door. You know, the old way of doing things, we didn't have grass in the yard you had to cut. We dug up the grass out of the yard and throwed it out. But then the chickens would come along and get out in the front yard and kind of mess things up, and when they did, then we'd have to go get a broom out of the woods, make it out of a dogwood or something that had a lot of limbs on it, and we'd have to go sweep all that yard. Now you just cut the grass, and it don't make no difference what happens. But let's just examine our own selves. Because the Bible, Paul said, if we don't, said, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. In other words, he's saying, don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Well, then if you know Jesus Christ is in you, then just make sure, because if you don't know whether he's in there or not, what did he say you'd be? Except you'd be reprobates. You know, just lost or gone, no hopes. Well, right now we're fixing, if the end of time is here, and it's time for the rapture and time for us to get out of here. And I keep saying it because everybody does say it, and that's fine, I believe it too, that we are here at the end. Well, then if that be so, we better examine ourselves, because if we don't know shortly, then we're going to found to be reprobates. Now, where did we come to in our studies? Where have we got to in our studies in the seals? We got over to Revelation 8:1, where it just says a silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. All right, now we've come through the seals and things. We studied the great things that's written there in the Bible of how that the sixth seal comes to the tribulation period and all the things that would happen. The sun would go down and all the moon refused to give its light and the stars fall from heaven. Great earthquakes and things like that would begin to happen. And we see that right here upon us in the land, you know, just everywhere right now upon us. We see earthquakes. We see weather conditions that we've never seen in our life. We see things happening now that we've never seen. So we know we're right down here. And Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, then look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Is that what the scripture said about it? Wasn't that what Jesus said when he got down to the end of that in Matthew 24 going through there? When you see these things coming to pass. Right now we're down to the seventh seal, and it just says there's silence in heaven for the space of half hour. Right now, if we don't get what's under that seal, seven is a number of completion. You know, there's 7 days in a week. All like that, that's the number of completion. Because you don't have actually a number eight speaking that away. That's why Jesus rose on the first day of the week. He didn't rise on the eighth day. He didn't rise, like number eight like that, because there's not any number eight. Seven is completion. Eight is back to a one and start all over again. You go, what? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then you start another week, don't you? And Jesus rose on the first day of the week. He didn't rise on Saturday. The Bible says rose early the first day of the week. All right, he rose on what we call now Sunday. And see, that would have been a one to start back over the cycle again. All right, then if we don't get this seventh seal, then you'd only be presuming about the things you thought you saw. If we don't get this of the silence in heaven and find out what's going on there and know what that is under that seal, then all we've learned over all the years, let me put it in this way. If all you believed all of your life, some of you claim to be Christians longer than I am of age. All right, then if what you claim to have believed all of your life won't now come forth and take you in, then what you was believing was vain. Didn't Jesus say there in Matthew about the 15th chapter, he said, in vain you do worship me teaching for doctrine the commandments of men? You mean you could actually worship God in vain? He said you would. Teaching for commandments, teaching for Bible doctrine, teaching for truth, teaching for the Bible here, the commandments of a man or something. See, then you'd mess up. Because the Bible then plainly tells you that we're down here at the end, and if God don't come forth now, in other words, let me ask you this way. What do you think will end it all up? You know, everybody says we're in the end, everything else, I believe it, but what do you think will end it up? I want you to think about it. Because I'm reading the scripture, examine yourselves. I want you to think about it, because that's what I'm wanting. I've already thought about it because it's already been given me what to speak on to examine yourself. All right, then I examine myself with it as I study to prepare. See, what do you think will bring it to an end? Is it just that we're just going along and all at once it just the world quits turning? Now we better consider, because in Bible terms, from the time of the rapture of the church, there's a 3.5 year tribulation. Some people teach a 7 year. But scripturally, there's 3.5, but whether you'd want to argue 3.5 or 7 wouldn't be no problem with me. If you take 7, that'd put you 3.5 more years past what I'm fixing to say. From the time of the rapture of the church and us going up, you know, a lot of people think we'll just be standing here and it'll all be over with at one time. Now, that's not even scriptural. Even we're taught that in the Baptist. Most of your basic denominational teachings is at least that the church goes up and then a tribulation sets in. Isn't that the teaching? Then that tribulation will go for a great period of time there. Right? Then it wouldn't be the end of the world, would it? The change, the rapture of the church for the bride that goes out, that wouldn't be the end of the world because time goes on past there. So we're not looking for the coming of the Lord like everybody looking for Him up in the sky coming down, where it says, ever I'll see Him.
you know, and all like that. But that's a hard one to understand, because how could ever I see him when the half of the world's asleep and the other half's awake? It's going to take a little bit of time there to forever I to see him, then, wouldn't it? But what I'm wanting us to do, examine ourselves by the Scriptures and just see whether we're in the faith or not. Because if God won't come forth now and do something for the people, what we've all believed back to there. I don't care who we are now. I told you I call names just because of names. And I have no reflection to them because I've been there and you've been there. But it don't matter what kind of a church you're talking about. From the Branhamites on down, I don't like to be called that because that's where the children of Israel got in trouble. You know, the children of Israel was doing fine when there's Israel. They're just Israel, which means God's chosen, you know, prince with God and all like that. But what got them in trouble is when they wanted to be like the rest of them that was around, and they wanted to be called Israelites. They wanted a king to rule over them. From then on, they're called Israelites, like Jebusites, Hittites, and all the rest of them. Well, see, people call us Branhamites. I don't like to be called that. If you don't call me anything, just call me brother. You know, if you want to call me anything, just call me a Christian, because that's what I want to be. I don't want the "ites" put on the end of it, because that's what messes us up. That's why I preach just as hard against the people of this message, and their ways are harder than I do any denomination that there is. Because it's not going to be the denomination that gets us in anyway. It's going to be Jesus Christ. But see, if God won't come forth now after all of these years, we've had 2,000 years since the death of Jesus Christ, running almost 2,000 years now, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And that seventh seal is that great mystery secret, because it said there's silence in heaven for the space of half hour. Now, Jesus said he didn't know when he is coming. Is that the Scripture? He said, no man knows the day nor the hour. He said he didn't even know the day he'd come himself. He said, not even the angels of heaven don't even know when he'll come. All right, see, then that's your mystery. That's your secret. That's your quiet period. That's something that nobody will know, because he'll come then in that time. That's your half hour silence. That's the coming of the Lord. That's the secret mystery. But now, what I want you to do is go back with me just for a few minutes to view something. Sometimes it does us good to go over and over things until we catch it. We found from the Scripture that the only way that we'll ever get anything from God is by believing who He sends, isn't it? If we don't believe who God sends, we'll never get nothing from Him. But if we believe who He sends, then He can deal with us by that. All right? We looked in the Bible and went over and over it, proving that here in the end time, from Malachi 4, the fourth chapter of Malachi, the fourth and fifth verse, that God promised to send us a messenger. Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, He promised to send us a messenger. There in Matthew, along about, well, I wouldn't know the exact scripture, I believe it's 17, something in there, where He's talking about how the Son of Man shall come and restore all things. See, a future event. Then in Revelations 10, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse, we showed that there would be a prophet coming the end time. Now, that's basically about all the people this message can get to, is that there was a prophet to come in the end time. But we found that unless you have that messenger yourself, not the prophet, not the man, but the prophet. Who is the prophet? There's never been but one prophet in the Bible, and that's God Himself. We don't believe in deity. We don't believe Brother Branham was God. I ain't talking about that at all. See, you'd miss it when you would think that would be what I'm talking about. I'm talking about unless you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you. Unless you've got the prophet himself in you, the Lord Jesus Christ in you, then there'd be no way you could understand anything in the Bible. That was the first qualification, was that there would be a prophet in the end time, and that prophet wouldn't be the one we call William Marion Branham. That's just a man. But the prophet to be here in the end time would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's in me and you. That's the God that's living in you. See why I'm using that scripture? Examine yourself, see whether you're being the faith or not. Check and see where Jesus Christ is in you or not. Because if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then we'd never catch the scriptures. The carnal man is at enmity against God. You know, the carnal mind. You've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ in spirit form living in you. If you don't, you're already lost to start with and have no hopes in the Scripture. But we found that same Lamb. That Lamb that broke those seals to John on the Isle of Patmos. If we don't have that same Lamb dwelling in us, then we have no hopes, do we? We're already reprobate. We're already lost unless we have that Lamb that was there. John, there when he was speaking and fixing to baptize him, what did he say? Now that's John the Baptist. When he was there on the River Jordan fixing to baptize Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." When John the Revelator, which is a writing of John and then the little Johns and wrote the book of Revelation, when he comes to the Isle of Patmos, he screams out and sees all man lost, Revelation 4 and beginning in the 5th chapter there. When he comes to that, he saw no hopes for anybody. We've been through it enough that you ought to be able to grasp that. That unless we have a Lamb to come forth, then you and I are lost now. You say, "Oh, I've been a Christian 20 years, 30 years, 50 years." Yeah, and you're going to find out before long whether or not what you've got is true. You say, "I know the day I saved. I know the day I joined the church. I know when the Lord came to me." That's fine. That's well and good. That's good. Hold on to that. Don't throw it away. But if what you've got then won't come out over here in the end time and take you to heaven, then what you've got wasn't Jesus Christ. I ain't got much sense and I can recognize that. If what you received and claimed as your salvation, if it won't come forth now and produce a Lamb for you, what John believed did, didn't it? John, the Revelator, was born again somewhere along about A.D. 30 or 33, either way you'd want to place it. And when he was riding on the Isle of Patmos, put out there because he was putting the Bible together into scrolls and getting them together and all, and they tried to boil him in oil, the records say. They put him in oil for 24 hours trying to kill him and couldn't. They just finally exiled him out on a place kind of like we'd call Alcatraz. Water all around it, snakes, lizards, and things, it all was there. No way to get off of it. And they just throw John out there on that island as a prisoner. But when he did, the Lord came to him. Now, at that time, that was about A.D. 95 or 96. John had been born again 60 years. I don't believe most of you would say you've been born again that long. You might say it, but, I mean, you might be right. But John had been born again about 60 years, and when Jesus comes to him, when it comes to the place there in Revelation 5, read it. When the call went forth for somebody to come and take the book, John began to scream and cry because he couldn't find nobody to take the book. But in a little while there was a lamb. The elder said, "Weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." When he looked for a lion, see, he was looking for him. But when he looked, he saw a lamb come forth. Do you know that had to do with John's own faith? John's faith produced that there. He was something that was crying, screaming for a Redeemer. Then it had to do with his faith. That's what I've been driving at all of this time now for weeks. The reason I said we just review this morning to see if you've been catching on to what I've been saying. John was crying for a Redeemer to come forth, and it had to do with what he believed himself. The same Lord Jesus that had saved John back there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came in, the same Lord Jesus he'd walked with on the shores of Galilee day after day for some 3.5 years he walked with him. That same Lord Jesus came to him on the Isle of Patmos. Then examine yourself, Paul says. See whether you've been to faith or not. Will now your faith, will it produce a lamb for you? I don't care what you teach about how you're going to heaven. If you teach you're going to die and go, or if you teach you're going to go up in the rapture, or whatever you teach, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about now. Because whatever you believe, if your faith won't bring a lamb for you, if God won't come, God's not coming after me and you in the rapture. Now, let's just consider this one point. He's coming after himself. He's coming after what's in you because there ain't nothing in me and you in ourselves that's worth coming after, is he? This rotten, stinking mess, people sang a song about his royal blood now flows through my veins. That's a good song, but it ain't scriptural. It's my stinking, rotten blood that's running through my veins. It's my sinful blood that's running through my veins. Not his blood. If it's his blood running through my veins, then that's what, like I said, it's a good song, but it's not scriptural. See, this here, God's not coming after this thing here. This flesh that I live in. He's coming after himself that's living in this flesh. Then the thing of it is, this flesh that I am just gets changed and goes with him as one of the benefits. But now, if I don't have Christ in here, then he's not coming after me. That's what I'm talking about, unless I have a lamb already in me. John already had the lamb. John knew the lamb. John already knew that lamb as a Savior. He had seen the dead raised. He'd seen the sick healed. He spoke many things. He'd written already the Gospel of John about the great life and the things that had happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd already written that when it comes to this time of where he's at. But we see him there, as we've studied in our sermons before in Revelation 5, see him screaming for a lamb. Brother Branham said, we'll come right back. Talking about Revelation 5, he said, we'll come right back when we get to the seventh seal, right back to this same scripture of John seeking a lamb. Revelation 5:109, seal book, he said, we'll come right back to this same scripture on the seventh seal. All right, now where did he come back to that? And let's see that it does fit that point. John was crying for a Redeemer, and a Redeemer came forth. But when it come to the seventh seal, there's silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. There's nothing even written there at all. This deadly silence in heaven. Everything stops. Silence. John, once again, was in a pitiful situation. It's what I said, unless we get that seventh seal, you're only presuming about what presume means to venture without authority. You're just presuming. Unless you know what that seventh seal is, then what all you've believed ain't worth 2 cents. You claim all your great salvation. You claim all your great life you've lived. Well and good. Praise the Lord. But unless God comes forth now to me and you and provides a lamb to take us into rapture, all of your good life has just been in vain. You see why Jesus would say that? That in vain they do worship me? Teaching for doctrine and commandments of man? I don't care who the man is, where he's Brother Branham or who it is. If that's all we can get out of it, is just a good life and living good and being nice, then I don't see the scriptural salvation. I don't see the Bible faith that the Bible speaks of. This thing, church, what I want to see, it's personal to me and you. It's not just a collective group or a group of people and everybody's going to heaven. It's you and God as one together. It's personal to you. As I said, it's not because your wife's going that you're going. It's not because your daddy's going that you're going to heaven. You go on the basis of what the Bible says, and there's one faith. Then that faith must be in you. See, Paul said, examine yourself. Search out in your own heart and life and see whether that faith is in you or not. You see what kind of a situation John was in? If you're just listening sensible to what I'm saying today, let alone the Lord revealing it, we're in bad shape, ain't we? We claim to be the end of time. We claim the end of the world is here. It's all over with. And we believe it. I'm talking about everybody claims that out there. But if God don't produce a lamb to take us in, then all our believing's been in vain. All of our thoughts and our ideas have just been in vain. It won't help us one bit. We've seen that we must have a lamb. We've seen that we must have a prophet, and that prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost that you have in your heart this morning. That's that prophet that'll carry us through. That's the lamb that'll open the book. Because it has to do with our faith. John, it had to do with his faith, and he stood there and cried, and when he did, it wasn't long until the Lamb came. But when we come up to this seventh seal, Brother Branham said we'll come right back to that same scripture on the seventh seal, and when you get on the seventh seal, read it on page about 555, 556 in the bottom of the page there where he talks about how that a high fire silence might not be too long if you're enjoying yourself. But when it's a suspense between death and life, it's a long time, ain't it? You say a half hour, that's not long. That's not a long time, is it? 60 breaths or something? Very short, ain't it? But listen, when it's in suspense between life and death, it's a millennium to you. It feels like 1,000 years to you. You ever been laying on your bed at night? And you'd be sick and weary and tossing and turning. You've been out of many a time enjoying yourself, looked down at your watch, and time's gone just like that, ain't it? Why, 30 minutes just gone in a hurry, just like that. But you've been sick laying on the bed and look at the clock, hadn't you? Look up on the wall and see the clock. And after a while, you feel like it's been 2 and 3 hours. You look back at the clock, and it's been 5 minutes. Why? Because there's something going on. There's an agony going on. And that's where you and I stand. Unless God will come forth now and produce what He said He'd produce, then we're lost. We'll find out very shortly that we're reprobates. All of your theology and all like that ain't going to do you a bit of good then. But it's either Christ or not? Will your faith produce a lamb for you? That's what I asked you in the last sermon. Will your faith produce a lamb for you? If it won't, then you're in bad shape. See, no wonder divine healing is only an earnest to the resurrection. Because if God won't come forth and heal our bodies when we believe He will, then there can't be a change of a body. If God wouldn't heal me when I'm sick, then I have no hopes of going to heaven. You know what everybody thinks about it, though? They think they're going along, you know, like the old saying is, they want to live like the devil and die like Paul. They want to live like everything, you know, live like the devil all the time, then die like Paul and go to heaven, you know. Oh, I'm going to heaven. No, that's not it at all. The thing of it is, if God won't heal my body now when I'm sick, then He won't change me when it comes to the time of the change. So divine healing is an earnest of our resurrection, so we need to get down to some basis of just believing God. And do what Paul said, examine it. Examine your own self. Because if you don't, you might find out you're a reprobate. A reprobate don't have no hopes. But you know, people are just like animals. We used to work mules and things on the farm. And you know, you can take an old hard-headed mule, the old saying goes, you got to before and get his attention before you can talk to him. But you know, people are like mules. You can talk to them all you want to. You can read out of the scripture. You can talk to them in plain, simple language that they couldn't reject what you're talking about. They're just like a mule. They just stand there, you know. Old ears are flopping. They don't care. But it'll all be over with, and we'll find out whether we're mules or not pretty quick. See, we'll find out shortly. If we believe we're in the end of the world, then we believe the end of time. We believe we're fixing to find out, don't we? That's all I want us to do. I want us to ask you a question. Are we ready for the opening of the seventh seal? That was the question I wanted to ask us. Are we ready for the opening of the seventh seal? We talk about we want that seventh seal. We've got to get that or we ain't going to make it. Are we ready for it? Has Christ provided a lamb for us? Is there a prophet dwelling in our heart? Is Jesus Christ living in us ready? See, then if it ain't, we better be checking up. We better be searching out and watching. But it has to do with your own faith. The rapture will have to do with what you can believe. The word rapture, it's not even in the scriptures, but it'll be changed in a moment in a twinkle of an eye. The change of this flesh has to do with what you can believe. You remember when Jesus said the scripture, most everybody reads at a funeral, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also, you know, in the scripture. You know, everybody quotes that at a funeral. But you know, really, Jesus Christ is right here in our hearts today. He's not off up in heaven somewhere, is he? Where did he go? He left right there when he died and come right back down on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, didn't he? And what's he been doing? He's not up there with a hammer and nails. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, now that's something, man. Everybody sees Jesus with hammer and nails and saws building a great big house. And they'll sing them songs, just build my mansion next door to Jesus, you know, or little log cabin in heaven, you know, and all like that. They think Jesus is up there building something. No, Jesus is down here in our hearts. He can speak, and that will come into existence. He don't have to work like that, but he has to work on me and you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I know where Jesus is at, and I know where I'm at, don't you? He's working on me and you. I like that song Brother Lenio Yant sings that Brother Phillips about, he's still working on me. See, it didn't take him but 6 days to build a world. But he's been working a long time on me. How many of you feel him working on you when you get lonely, heartbroken? You have troubles and heartaches and trials. And I'm glad he's still working on me. But just think now. Are we ready for the opening? Because you don't realize how serious that question is. Are we ready for the opening? Are we ready for God to move on the scene? We expect Him to. We believe He will. But are we ready for it? You know, there was a time there in the Bible, they went through a lot of things, the children of Israel did. But then God come down. You remember there when they was in Egypt? Then God come down and told Moses to go down there and tell them to take a lamb and sacrifice and get everything ready. Take it and get all their food ready and everything. He said, because we're fixing to move out of here. You know what the last thing that happened to the land? You remember the last thing there in the Bible that happened to the land when the people was fixing to leave out of Egypt? The death angel come down and struck all of those of the firstborn. Death struck, wasn't it? When the Lord moves on the scene, death's already. It's right there to follow him. Because Satan always follows after God wherever he goes. We followed him down through the church ages and everything else. Satan always follows God. Whatever God does, Satan follows right along behind him. The death angel struck the land of Egypt after the Lord had moved on the scene. And death lays before all of us now. See, we're not talking about just being good and going to heaven. People's made statements, say, well, I'll be glad just to get to go to heaven. That's fine. But somebody, read Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse about 40, 42 over there, where it talks about all those great warriors of faith, but when it gets down to the bottom, it says, they without us cannot be made perfect. Then that means somebody's going to have to pull them out of the grave. Somebody's going to have a faith. Somebody's going to have a lamb. George, would you come? But do you know that lamb? Is it your lamb? Is there a lamb for you? Let's sing it. My faith looks up to thee. Let's stand together and just... I want us to think on that. Will your faith produce a lamb? Because if it don't, page 39. If it won't, then we'll find out, as Paul said there, examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith. Know ye not whether Jesus Christ is in you or not? Because if you don't, you'll be reprobates. It means more. There's no need of trying to scare somebody. That wouldn't do no good anyway. We're in a time and an hour when people are beyond being scared. Used to when a preacher got up and preached a message, and he'd be preaching like I was there just a minute ago about how will your faith produce a lamb? Do you know what would happen years ago when we used to be there? It wasn't just the kids that got scared. It wasn't just the little bitty children that got scared and afraid something was fixing to happen. I remember back in the 50s when we was in Diamond Hill Church over there, and that preacher would start preaching about fire and brimstone and hell, and the parents and the mamas and the daddies would scream and run to the altar. But you can't scare people no more. Not at them was just being scared. Some of them was really sincere. Some of them were right. But you could tell anything now to people and it don't bother them because they've heard it told too many times. They don't even realize that the Bible says. People says today, where's the Lord? We've heard that all of our life. They don't even realize the Bible says that they'll say he tarrieth his coming. Because we've heard that ever since the fathers went to sleep. But in my short lifetime of 43 years, I remember somewhere around 30 years ago that a preacher, if he'd have preached a message of what I was talking about this morning, every person in the building would have been in the altar. Because they'd have been looking for a lamb. Because I didn't take away the lamb you got. I didn't destroy the salvation you got. I just tried to tell you the salvation you got is what will take you through. The salvation you got, the Lord Jesus Christ that you got when you was born again, that is what will take you through. But in that, John saw a need for a lamb. In his salvation, he saw a need for a lamb. In our salvation, we better see one. We better be looking to the Lord. Because shortly we'll find out we're reprobates. We don't. Now, how much more simpler could it be then? My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. From this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire as thou. Do you know that lamb? Do you have that lamb this morning? That lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. The great I am. The all in all. And he provided a lamb. Do you realize, church, every time that one of them lambs in the Old Testament, every time that lamb would give its life, when they'd make a sacrifice upon the altar, you know, every time that lamb would lose its life, it spoke of a Savior. It spoke that there'd be a lamb come, and that he'd be the Lamb of God. Then that lamb he's here today too. I believe he's here today just like he was then. I believe the same lamb's here, not another one. I don't believe in the second or third person of the Godhead like's taught by most. I believe in one true and living God. I believe that same lamb is here. If there was a lamb there, then the same lamb's got to be here. If it didn't, it'd be two gods. If there's two gods, then we all fouled up. But you will tell you that in a hurry. He believed one true and living God. Because the Bible always taught that. But I believe that same lamb, that same Lord Jesus Christ, that walked the shores of Galilee, is right here in the end time. Getting everything ready because he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
The place he went was right into the hearts of those people on the day of Pentecost. And I believe he's right here in the hearts of the people. And that same Lord Jesus is getting ready. The Bible says there would be a trumpet sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Now we know that trumpet's not a to-doop, to-doop, to-doop. Not somebody blowing a horn. We know that trumpet is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord declares that it's all just about finished. Then if it's all finished, then there's a lamb standing here. But your faith will have to bring him on the scene for you. What you believe will bring him to you. Not what I believe. That only brings him to me. How you believe him to be will bring him to you. You know, there was a lot of stories there in the Bible where a lot of people sought after the Lord. But you know, he always came to those that sought him. You know, a man one time wanted to make fun of him, had it planned in his mind. Old Simon there had it planned in his mind. He's going to get him over and make fun of him. The Lord Jesus knew all the time what he's going to do about making fun of him. But you know he went anyway. Because he'll come when you invite him. You just call him, he'll come. He's never failed yet to come on the scene when somebody calls him. But then, church, I say to you, it's time for the church to call for a lamb. Because that's the only hopes I can see in getting out of here, is a lamb. It's not just an idea or a thought. Or let's go join up with this church, or let's go join up with that one, or let's go with this group, or go with that. It's the Lamb of God. There is no hope for none of us. Don't matter where we're at. If what we believe won't produce a lamb, we are no different than anyone else. If what I believe from God's Word won't bring a lamb, then I'm no different than nobody else. But he said for us to seek after him, we find him. Father, we thank you for the little group that's gathered out today to be with us and just to fellowship around your Word. We pray that these words would not return unto thee void, as you said in your Word, but would accomplish that which they're sent forth unto, that it would be, Lord, that they would see that we're just talking about thee, Lord, talking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That same Lamb will come now and take us out of this world. We're calling for that Lamb. Lord, we're making our hearts ready to receive what you have in store for us. Grant us understanding. Grant us safety on the way home. Take care of the people. Protect them as they travel. Guide us all together. If there be a night, Lord, then meet with us again here tonight. Dismiss us from one another, but never from thy presence. Guide us all in Jesus' name we ask it. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.